So today we're going to talk about cleaning up the clutter, refreshing your Madcap Flair project design. For whatever reason, and there could be a multitude of reasons why you would want to do some of the things that we're going to talk about today. And this isn't meant to be an all-inclusive list, but really just to talk about some things, and you know it when you see it in your Flair project or projects, when you see some things that, I should really pay attention to that and look at making them more efficient, right? So that's what we're going to talk about. This session came together from a number of different things that I've been doing in my Flair practice, one of them being coming onto a team that had a couple of Flair projects already in place that had been there for years, about 6 or 7 years, and had been passed back and forth between writers that have come and gone, and there was no real rhyme or reason why some of the things were gone. Some people had used it in one way, some people had used it in another way, and some people had implemented styles this way and created things this way, and it just really got bloated and out of control. So we're going to talk about some ways that you can implement to clean up your Flair projects and make them a little leaner and easier to manage. So for those of you who I have not met before, I'm Nate Wolf. I am a technical writer at Cisco Systems based in Raleigh, North Carolina. and I write for the security division of Cisco for a number of different security products, but we use Flair in all kinds of different ways to produce an HTML online help system that we package within our product. And if you went to my session yesterday, we also are really big into creating PDF documents. Our users love those, so we still produce print PDF documentation, and we're also involved in developing an online help system for our cloud product, which just launched too. So we're really pushing Flair to its limits to see what all it can do, and trying to use the trying to be minimalistic in our project design and making it do so many different things. So with that being said, let's get started. Here's a loose agenda of some things that we're going to talk about today. First, we'll go through some signs of needing a refresh. These are some aha moments or some, oh man, when you see this kind of in your Flair projects. And these will probably be familiar to a lot of you if you're experiencing the same thing that I did. Next, we're going to talk about global project linking. A lot of you probably know about global project linking. There's actually a global project linking session going on right now. So sorry you're missing that if you're really interested in it. But you can go back and listen to the recording of that. I'll touch on it briefly. But if you're interested in more details about that, go look at that session. Then we'll talk about some steps to actually refresh your project. And finally, finish up with staying on track, because your work's never really done, as you know. And then I hope to leave some time at the end for some questions if you have. You can ask them or come up to me after the session or find me somewhere in the hallways. I'd be glad to talk to you more about this. And if you have some ways that you are kind of maintaining your project that I haven't mentioned here, I'd love to hear about them and add them to my ongoing list so I can start implementing them in my projects also. All right, so with that being started, here's just some few signs that your project needs a refresh, and we'll go into detail a little bit about each one of these in a moment, but are you using style sheets and multiple style sheets and table styles, and you don't even know what some of the style sheets are used for, or they're old sheets that you use for a different project or projects that you're not even using anymore, but they're still in the project, right? Unused or inefficient file usage. If you're using multiple, if you're not making use of the best single sourcing resources of Flair, right, you can have a lot of files in there. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. old HTML design, right? A lot of people are here to learn about, you know, moving to top nav or the side nav if you have an old tri-pane design, something like that. This is a good time to start thinking about that as you're refreshing your project in general to kind of do it in one fell swoop. People talk about this a lot, but I'll mention it here again because it always makes worth mentioning local formatting. Big no-no. People do it all the time and don't even realize it's there. And then not using project properties, and we'll talk about each one of these on the slides that come. So, styles getting out of hand much. This is a real example from a project that I inherited. These are just the table styles. And you can see that the scroll bar is not even halfway down the list. Okay? What is going on here? This was maybe two writers removed from when I had this project, but from what I gather, instead of updating a table style for when they needed to make a change, the writer just created a new table style for whatever table that they were creating, okay? This is very inefficient and can get confusing really quickly. Inefficient file usage, right? If there's unused topics, maybe topics for documents or doc sets that you're not using anymore, right, but are still in your project, they're bloating your project. We'll talk about how to manage those a little bit later. Similar topics used for different purposes in the same project. I had title page for document A, title page for document B, title page for document C, and so on. And it wasn't even in that same nomenclature named the same way. That's an inefficient way to do it and can really add size to your project. TOCs for every version of a product. Again, just inefficient, not making use of the single sourcing resources in Flare and variables and condition sets. You can really cut down on the number of targets and TOCs and topics that you have by using more of these. It's all about rethinking the way that you use files. And this is, you're actually in a good spot if you are on the forefront of designing a project or your first project right now, because you have an ability to think about these things ahead of time. but we'll kind of cover both use cases here, and I'll try to make examples from, if you're starting out, these are some really good things to think about, but if you have a project already that is in this situation that you've inherited and it's got out of control, we'll talk about some ways that you can handle that too. As I mentioned all before, want to move from tri-pane, want to make your content responsive, want to update your page layouts. As I mentioned in my talk yesterday, we updated our page layout design to match our software UI, which was changing. So we wanted to have that uniform approach across our documentation set. We wanted, from a branding perspective, we wanted our docs to match what our product looked like. And so if you're just using an old layout that you just haven't changed yet and you're thinking about it but haven't made the plunge, this is a good time to think about it while you're making some other project design choices. Does your layout and design look like it's from the 90s? Yes. In a PDF example I shared yesterday, a lot of times they are, with a left and right page layout and some old design you haven't touched in a while. Throwback to Clarissa Explains It All, one of my favorite shows from the 90s. So, again, local formatting. Styles overridden with local formatting. This is one of the biggest things I encountered when I inherited a project. Started to try to clean it up, implemented one style sheet, applied it across the board, and there were still styles that weren't showing up, and we dug a little deeper and found there were topics just riddled with local formatting. People had just bolded things at will, changed the font, changed the font size, and not use styles for that. So this is a big problem that happens, and people talk about it all the time, but you really have to be aware. And we'll talk about how to manage that if you do have local formatting in your project too. Big no. Local settings, not set at the project level. This can get kind of out of hand too, and I know everybody's project is different, but if at all possible, to set your settings at the project level instead of the target or topic level. I know there's some instances where you have to do this, but the project I inherited, every topic had settings set, style sheet set at the topic level. I mean, it was getting out of hand, and they were getting overridden, and we didn't really know why. So we'll talk about handling that. Okay, next, let's touch on global project linking for a moment, because it's a really good concept to consider if you are thinking about redesigning your project. From the ground up, if you're starting anew, or even if you already have a project or projects in use that you've inherited, you can still take on global project linking and make use of its many benefits. So, start with a global project. What goes in a global project? Whatever you want to is really the answer, and that's going to depend on your project. But here's some examples of some files that could be used across multiple projects that have the ability to be in a global project. Things like style sheets and variables, master pages, snippets, kind of design files that you'd want to make use of across multiple projects or all of your projects, you'd think. What can I use, or what am I reusing across all the different projects that I have, right? And why use a global project? There's a number of different reasons why. One of them being your files are maintained in one place. You have to update your style sheet, and you have six projects. How do you manage that? Do you make the change and have everyone change the same thing in every single project? Do you update one style sheet and share it out between everybody and have them put that in their project? You don't have to do that with a global project. You can put it in one place, and everybody gets it's filtered into all of the child projects, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute. You have gatekeeper abilities. If you have an admin or maybe admins to the global project, then you can keep it pristine. Maybe you're an only writer on your team, and you're already the gatekeeper, but if you work on a bigger team, then you don't want a ton of people working in the global project, because that leads to a little bit more error. So it has a gatekeeper privilege if you assign just a certain number of people or admins to work on the global project. Okay, so some of you might be thinking, I only have one project. Why would I consider a global project? Well, you should consider it to help future-proof your documentation strategy. You never know when your company is going to launch a new product, or you might have a bloated project we're going to get to in a moment that you think about, and you think about, hey, maybe I can break this into multiple projects. Maybe it would make more sense to do that. And having a global project is going to make that a lot easier on you to do. So, in a nutshell, how does global project linking work? Well, we have the files that we mentioned earlier. Whatever you decide makes sense for your project or projects, but typically these are going to be design files kept in your global project. And then you have a project, call it a child project. We have project A, and then we set up an import from the global to project A. You actually set up this import in the project A. You pull in the global, and we'll walk through that in a minute. But this is a one-way import that comes from the global into your project A. And as you can see, it's not a two-way street. It's one way down, and that's on purpose. You don't want anything from your child project to go in your global project. You just want to import everything that you do in your global projects. If you make a change in there, it's going to be in your project, in your child project. Now you have a second project, project B. You want to do the same thing. So you set up an import file in project B to import the global down into project B as well. And so on and so forth if you have multiple projects. There's a lot of different ways you can handle global project linking. I'm not going to get into those right here because there's a lot of other things to talk about. But if you're interested in the concept, go back and look at the the recording from the session going on right now on Global Project Linking. So let's quickly walk through it. How do I set up a global import file? So in your child project, you go to Import Flare Projects, and you locate the global project that you have saved. There's some options here. You can auto re-import before generate output. Don't get too worried about what options you're doing here if you've never done this before, because you can always update them and save them and change them later. You set up your import options. This is a good way, and this is a mistake that I made when I was setting up a global import file, is you want to make sure if you have some files in your global project that you might not want in your child projects, you can exclude them here. For example, I set up some test targets and TOCs in my global project just to see how things work, and I didn't really want them in my child projects cluttering them up. So you can exclude things like targets and TOCs if you want here and just have the design files in there. It's going to import everything in the import box, and then you accept it. So when you do that, now in your project organizer, you're going to have a import file in your import folder. See there, right here it's showing the global project. And you can open that import file up at any time. And here's what it looks like on the bottom. And you see those same options that were there before? You can kind of decide if you want to keep some of those, if you want to change your include and exclude file. So this isn't a one-time thing. If you want to change the way you're working with your global project, you can change it in any time right here. So just a quick note, you can, the first checkbox here, auto re-import before generate output, that's kind of a check to make sure you have the latest version of your global project when you're building a target. And what that's going to do is that's going to kick off an import of the global project before every build that you make. You may or may not want that depending on the size of your build. It adds a lot of build time, I will say that, but it always, depending on the size of your target, but it does make sure you're always on the latest. Or if you want to come in here, you can re-import this manually at any time that you want. And that might be a better option for you to just process in your process. Go re-import the global projects, and then I'm going to build my targets or my doc sets that I have now. Totally up to you. All right. Now let's talk about some different ways that you can use to refresh your project that we mentioned earlier, and we're going to address some of the concerns I brought up from a little bit earlier right here. Okay. First of all, a disclaimer before we get into some of these. This is not a complete list of things that you can use to refresh your project. There's many more, as I mentioned, and if you have others, I'd love to hear about them and add them to the list of things that I do to keep my projects maintained as well. Every project is different, so your mileage may vary. You may be looking at one of these things. Nah, that doesn't really work for me, or our project's not set up this way, and that's totally fine. That's the great thing about Flare. It's really robust, and there's a lot of different ways to do the same thing. So your mileage may vary. But these are just some general ideas that you can use to help refresh your project if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed or it's gotten out of control. So one thing to think about, and I try to think about this when I'm designing a project or thinking about the design files to put in there, is to keep it simple. What can I do to make the file sizes the smallest, the least number of files that can do the same thing? What single sourcing concepts can I use from Flare to cut down the number of files and to make it easier on myself to maintain my project? So that was kind of my mindset in all things in thinking about project design. All right, so before you get started, back up your projects. I cannot stress this enough. I put that in red. Cannot stress this enough. Murphy's Law is in full effect here. If something can go wrong, it may and probably will go wrong. So keep a backup. You can do that in a number of different ways, whether or not you're using source control. If you're using source control, that's great. You can revert changes back if you want. You can make a copy of a project and just on the side, and you can make some changes there or just play around with some of these elements to see what it's actually going to do to your project. But some of them are big changes to your project design and can have big effects. So you want to back up your projects to make sure that if something catastrophic happens or you do something that you didn't really mean to do, then you can always revert back to what you have, right? Okay, so a good starting point is to revisit your style sheets. As you saw in my example earlier, there were a million table styles in one of my projects, and almost as many just regular style sheets. So look at your style sheet implementation. What do you want to do with your project? How are you using style sheets currently? And as you continue in your Flare practice, how do you want to be using style sheets? Again, every project is different, but you can probably optimize your style sheet that you're currently using, or style sheets that you're currently using. Ideally, you could just use one, or maybe two, depending on how many outputs that you have, right? But for me, when I took on some projects that I inherited, my first go at it was to let me go in and plug at this style sheet that we have in here, the main one that we're using. First, we had to pick out which one is used by most of the topics. And then let me update all of the styles in here to what I want them to be. That didn't really go so well because there was a lot of junk in that one. I found it easier to create a new one and just put that in my global and go from there. And you can run reports to see, we'll talk about that in a little bit, to see some unused styles and unused other things that you're using. And again, think simple. Maybe you're using a template, which makes it even an easier starting point. You want to use one of the side nav or top nav templates that MadCap has, and that's great. And those come with style sheets already built into them. So you have, if you're just wanting an easier implementation and don't want to get into heavy HTML5 and skin design, you can use one of these and start with that. Start with that style sheet and add your own styles or edit them as you want. There's no need for styles that perform the same function. I didn't show you an example of this, but kind of in the same way that the project I had so many table styles, there were so many styles in the style sheet that did the same function, over-defining styles, styles defined at the body and paragraph and H1 and H2 level that overrid each other, and multiple indent styles for all different kinds of purposes, and you can easily indent things without using so many styles to do that. Maybe you want to revisit your layout files, as I mentioned before. Are you moving to a new design? This would be a good time, if you're considering that, to kind of revisit your project design and refresh it overall if you're considering moving to a new design for your HTML output, or maybe you want to update your PDF design. Maybe you want to do both, and it's actually a good time to do it all together so you can take care of all of your design files at once, your page layouts and your master pages, and get those in your global project. All right. Let's talk about variables for a minute. If you're not using variables currently, this is also a good opportunity to start using them. Variables are amazing and a huge time saver in Flare projects. Maybe you have a variable set that you kind of use, but you don't really add anything new to it right now. You're just kind of using it, and you want to you add some things in there and in your topics, and I'll just type out the name of this product or something. And it's a lot better to think about things you're going to reuse over and over and over and create a variable for it. So you can reuse that multiple times in your project. So if you're not using them, then this is a great opportunity to start using them and create a variable set and just think about some things that you reuse over and over. And here's some examples here that I have. A product name, right? We use variables for our document titles, so we can only use one title page. So we just variable the put the variable for the document title on the title page. You can do things like that. You can create a variable for your product name and product short name. For example, we have to list our full product name on First Reference and then a shorter version of that product name on each subsequent reference. And so that gets really painful to make sure we're doing that every time just in plain text. And with a variable, we can insert long or short product name every time that we want to do that. And a true story in how this came about is I had a product that changed names 3 times in the last 2 years. The first time, we went in and just did a find and replace for everything that we could and, you know, changed the product name. Then it happened again. We have to future-proof this. Let's create a variable for this. And then found a way to replace, you can replace plain text with a variable. So when you're find and replace, if you have something, if you have a project in place already, and you have some items that you think would be good candidates for variables, you don't really have to start from scratch. You can find that text. If you have a product name that you just type out over and over, you can use the find and replace feature to replace it with a variable. And you see, this is an example of the variable string for product name. So if you have my product, that's what you would put in the find and replace it with a variable, and then it's going to replace that in every instance. And you want to review those, obviously, to make sure that it caught everything and it's not doing something that you don't want to do it. But that's why you back up your project. All right. Let's talk about reports for a minute. So reports. What items are currently unused? Reports are a great way to find out things that you're not using in your project right now that you might not even be aware of. I didn't work much with reports until I was trying to implement the new style sheet that I had gotten in, and I wanted to see what styles weren't being used by any topics or by any content, for example. And so running a report is a great way to do that. You can run an empty report or an unused items report. An empty is obviously going to be empty, like I mentioned, but the unused is pre-populated with it's checking unused items for every category here. And in this example one that I ran, you can see it showed me that 2 topics are not linked in any of my TOCs anywhere. So I'll go back and look at those, but I'll mark those and see those are probably good candidates to remove from my project because they're not being used by any content so far. And then a good thing to do here, if you want to save these and go back and look at them, you can add to archive by pressing that button. And what that's going to do, that's going to save it to your project reports folder, wherever you save your project at. So it's going to keep a list of these reports. And you can run them on different topics. If you want to run a report just on styles, if you want to run a report just on topics to keep them separate and easy to read, you can do that and save them to the archive and go back and look. And that's going to help you start cleaning up some content in your project. Okay. And you can see here, you can name it whatever you want to name it. Unused items report, unused styles, and I like to put a date on it because I run it multiple times just to see when I last ran this report and to see the date attached to it. Okay, are you ready? After we've run those reports and after we've looked at some of our style sheets and maybe created a new one, let's delete some files. Or it might even be a better idea to archive those. So what I did is created an archive project where I didn't really want to delete all of these for good. I just dumped a bunch of stuff that wasn't that was in the unused reports. When we went through them and found out we didn't want them in this project, just put them in an archive project. You can even hook up that project to Source Control 2 if you want to have it in there. But if you're not using this stuff, get it out of your project. It's only going to add to your build times. It's only going to make it more confusing for new users who are coming on to use your project to see more files and more things that they have to get acquainted with, or what is this used for. So if you want to make sure you want to save it, maybe you know some things you won't need ever, and that's fine. You can delete those. But if you have topics from a doc set that was archived, or a product that, you know, went end of life that you don't want to, that you don't use anymore, but maybe you have, maybe there'll be some kind of need to update the document at some point in the future, you can save it in an archive. But stuff like that's not worth saving in your working projects you're working daily with, because it's just going to bloat it and add unneeded items to it. So get rid of it. Okay. Now let's talk about setting your project defaults for a minute. If you haven't done anything like this before, then this is something that you can do at the project level, at the project properties button there that I showed you to do. And if you can set your master page layout and your master style sheet, at least at the project level, that's a great getting started point. You may or may not have a master TOC. For our project that handles our online help, we do. We have a one TOC that is for our online project, but we have a lot of PDF documents that we produce also, so we don't really have a master TOC for that, but you can kind of make the decision what's your most used here. And if you can set the defaults for your page layout and style sheet, it's going to save you a lot of time later, because you don't have to set them in all kinds of different areas. You can just leave the default on, and that's what this means. If you leave the default on, it's going to default to this. You can even catch yourself by doing that by not checking allow local style sheets. And if you do have that checked, you can set style sheets at a lower level, at a topic level or target level. But if you don't have it checked, it's not going to allow you. It's going to give you a pop-up and saying, hey, you have this setting checked that you can't put this style sheet on at this level. So if your project allows you, and if you can create one overarching style sheet, or maybe a main style sheet that you use for a lot of stuff, and maybe you have a separate one to handle the home page of your TriPane output, your top nav output or something like that, that's okay. But if you can move to one main style sheet that you use, this is going to save you a lot of time going forward, because you're not going to have to check all of your topics and all of your content to see where is something linked that it shouldn't be, or why did someone do that before? Because if there's a way to mess something up in Flare, somebody's probably found it and done it before, right? Because I certainly have, and didn't even realize it a lot of times. Okay, so next, it's time to apply your changes. And you can do that in a lot of different areas. In your target, you can put your variable sets in that you just implemented, right? So you can make it target specific. If you have a document title name, like I'm putting here, or a product name. So say if you're in a situation like me, I have three different products. I just set the product name at the target level. If the target is supporting one particular product, I set that there, and it's going to be that product name throughout the entire document. Right. So this is a great way to make sure, it's another catch yourself to start using your variables here in your targets. Also, in the general area that we have here, you can see everything is set to default. I don't need to define my master page. I don't need to define my style sheet at this level too, because it's what I set at the project level as well. More applying your changes to your TOCs and your styles. Right, you can see here the table style example that I gave earlier. Maybe you want to move to one table style that you want to use. You can easily do that. You might want to test it first and just apply it to a specific topic to see how it looks, kind of thing. But once you get a table style design that you like and you want to make it your table style, then you can go in and you can apply that table style to your entire project or projects. Or if you want to just do it a certain folder, maybe you have some tables and some other design files that you don't want to apply it to. But you can apply your table style across the board doing that. And in your TOC too, right? Again, we can go with our default page layout. I ran across a ton of TOCs. I was just going through the TOCs to find out why these pages were looking different in my PDF output. And it turns out there were multiple page layouts applied to different topics, and it seemed for no rhyme or reason. I couldn't really figure it out. And we had about as many page layouts as the table styles that I showed you earlier. Someone just got in there and just created a ton of everything, just all kinds of design files. And so here, you're set. You use the default, you're using the project defaults, and so you're all good. You can define things here. Maybe you created a title page and your page layout, and you want to change some things here. But you can use the default for everything else. Okay, let's discuss local formatting for a moment. So local formatting is bad. We've established that. So how do we get rid of it? So there is a little feature on the font area. You see that B with the little X next to it. That removes local formatting from your topic. And what you can do is you can control A and select, and that will select all of the content in a topic, and then just hit that button and it will remove the content from remove the local formatting from that entire topic. So you kind of have to do these one by one. I've also heard there's a plugin that will do an entire project, so I'm curious to find out more about that. But as for now, this is the best way that I've figured out how to remove the local formatting. But at least you can do it. And then your styles will come through to show, because I applied a style sheet to multiple topics and people had overridden the headings with a certain type of different font here and then bolded it, and my styles weren't coming through. So I realized that there was local formatting added, so had to remove all of that. So check your topics for local formatting and get rid of it. This was a big hang up when we were trying to refresh our projects. And if you were in Peter Kelly's session earlier, he talked about regex in detail, and there's actually, I'm glad to see this is becoming a more popular topic, and Jenny Pittman has a session after this one on regular expressions too. So if you're interested in those, I highly suggest you go back and listen to Peter's or attend hers too. But regular expressions are kind of like a advanced find and replace. And so what we discovered when we moved to our new style sheet is there were a lot of styles in our topics that didn't have a tag for them anymore because they were associated to an old style sheet, or it was a style that we didn't have in our new style sheet. And we wanted to make our style sheet really simple and clean and easy to maintain. So they were all P dot, you name it. There was a style for that riddled in our topics, and all these indented styles. But we found out we could do is use regular expressions, you might heard refer to it as regex, to remove those and to replace those styles. So what you can do, for an example here in your find and replace, you can, I've given you an example here. This is an example we had, and you might have too, if you imported some Word content into your project, you might have span class bold, span riddled everywhere. And we had a initiative to make our docs more accessible. And one of the easy ways that we were going to do that is to change all our bold tags to strong and our italics tags to emphasis tags to make it easier for screen readers to change it to the semantic level. And so how are we going to do that at a great level? Well, use regex to do that, and you can type in a specific format in here in the find and replace. Disclaimer, I'm not a regex expert. I don't know what a lot of these mean, but I used a cheat sheet. This is on Flair's online help too. I'm learning more about it right now and finding out more ways to use regex to change all of our styles. Again, back up your project. This can have big effects on your content. I recommend you do this at maybe a topic level at first. You can do it on a greater scale. You can apply it to an entire folder, or you can apply it to an entire project. But what it's going to do in this example is change all of the span class bold tags that exist, and it's going to put the strong tag in there instead. And see, you have to do that, what you put in the find, what you put in replace. You can do it in whole project. I'd recommend doing it in one topic at first just to see what your output looks like. Do it in a topic that you know has a style that you want to change, and then go from there, right? And ensure you check the find in source code box and the search type as regular expressions. So if you're in a situation like I was, that you had a lot of old styles from old style sheets that were just in your topics, this is a good way to identify those and see what you can change them to match a style in your new style sheet. All right, you're done. Kick back and relax. Not quite. But just let's summarize a few things that we've talked about so far. First, go global. Global project is going to help you maintain your design files in one place and help it easier to stay on track. You make a change in one place and you can funnel that into the rest of your projects that you have. It even makes sense to do it if you have one project. You say, why don't I just maintain a style sheet in the one project that I have? Yes, you can do that. But again, if you want to plan for the future and future projects that you have, if you want to break down your current project into more, or you have a new product coming on, or you want to add a new project, having a global project linking system in place is going to help you implement that a lot easier. Second, back up your project. Mentioned that many times. I'll mention it again. Back up your projects. I did some experimenting with regex, and it found some things to change that I did not want it to. And so you kind of have to play around with the code in that to find the things that you actually want it to find. So always back up your project when you're doing something on a great scale like these. Revisit your design files. You want to refresh your project and apply a new page layout to all of your projects or something like that. This is a good time to do it when you're making other big changes to your project. Run reports. Reports are great to see what's unused, what you're not using, and to be good candidates for deletion or to move to an archive that you can, you know, keep for later if you need to access it. Then delete those stale files and archive them. Setting your project defaults at the project level is going to save you a lot of time and effort, so you don't run into setting all of these settings at different levels at the topic and the target levels. Apply your settings to all of those areas that we talked about. Remove that local formatting from all of your topics to let your style shine through. And clean up old styles with regular expressions. And pat yourself on the back. You did a great job. Your project is in pristine shape and you are ready to go forward. Except your work is never truly complete. There's always things you can do to stay on track, because some of the things that happen to get your project in the state it was can happen again and really easily. So there's always things that you can do to stay on track. One of those is document your project in your project. Nita Beck talks about this exclusively in some of her sessions that she has, and she has some great tips on doing that. So she's graciously let me steal some of those. And what this means is to kind of future-proof your project and to let current writers know and people that come on, maybe a new writer, know some things about your project. You want to document it in there so they don't have to ask questions or have to always ask someone why you did it this way. An example here is you can actually document, you can put in the comment area for every style that you have, what that style is used for or how to implement it in your projects, right? So if you have a specific use that you have that you want to use style or styles for, you can direct people on how to do that. Write in your style sheet right here in the comment. This is what we use warnings for. This is use H1s in this instance. Use this style for this instance, right? And so you can really document your entire style sheet, and so people know what to use all of them for. You can create a global project process guide. You can create it in Flare like we did. We have a global process output that explicitly explains how to update the global project. And it says who's in charge, how do you do it, how to let the other writers on the team know when you've updated the global project so they can go and pull it down into all of their child projects. And again, it's once you know it, it makes sense, but if a new writer comes on or we want to update the process we do to do that, we can document that right here and right here in our project to do that. So run those reports periodically. You can set a reminder, every 3 months or whatever's a good time frame for you. Maybe you're writing for software, maybe in an infrastructure period where you just put out a release. It's a good kind of check as you're moving on to your next phase in the project that you're working on, and other things you do to, all right, let's check on our project. Did we add anything that maybe we shouldn't have, or we're down to the 11th hour and we just want to put a change in real quick? Run your reports periodically to check and see if there's anything else that you might have added. Don't add unneeded junk. Bad habits exist for a reason. They're easy to fall into, especially as I was talking about getting a document out at the 11th hour, right? It'd be so easy just to override the formatting with some local formatting to get that out instead of going into the global project, adding a new style, making sure everyone else on the team is okay with that style and saying, hey, we're going to use this style for this. No, let me just, I want it to look like this, or a customer asked if this heading could look like this, or, that's not the right way to do it. That's going to come back to bite you in the long run. So do it the right way. Create a style if you want to do something to change a style on a greater level. Create an archive project, like I mentioned earlier. That's a great idea to do, to put in files that you're not actively using anymore. It keeps your project sizes smaller, so they're a lot easier to maintain. And if you ever need those, you can go grab them again from your archive project. But they're not worth keeping in your project day to day, because they're just going to bloat it up, make it more confusing, and add to your build times. And remember from before, keep it simple. That's what I try to do in thinking about how I'm designing a project or how to make it function the best and most effectively, is what do I need to do, and how can I do that in the simplest way possible? That's kind of how I try to approach a lot of these concepts. So. All right, thank you. That's the end of the presentation. Now we do have a few minutes before the session. And so if anybody has any questions, please feel free to ask or come up to me after the session or find me out in the hallway. I'd be glad to talk to you more. Yes? The question was, can you do a report on images not being used? Yes, you can. There's a checkbox for that. You can just, yes?
Is it best to do things as variables or in the target? For example, we have a document number for each document that we have.
Uh-huh.
So it's unique.
Okay.
So we don't really want, and we've got, you know, probably we're at like 4,000 or something like that right now, historically. So do we want those as variables or do we just set it at the target level?
The question was, you have a document number, a unique document number for each document that you have. Is that number published on your output? Is it? It is. I would put that as a variable, too. I mean, is it ever going to change? Or you just add new ones when you create new?
Add new ones for a new doc. You know. So it's going to be like, you know, you scroll from hell.
Yeah. I don't know if that would be the best. Someone else chime in if you think so. I don't know if that would be the best use of a variable in that, if it's a single use thing that you're not going to reuse anywhere else.
Or you could have the variable as a blank variable and fill it out at the target level.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have a blank variable that's filled out at the target.
Yeah.
I didn't hear all that. So it's just a variable that's in your variable set that you type in at the target level. Okay. So you edit it at the target and then put your document number in there. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Anyone else? Yes? Yeah, it's just a copy paste. Yeah, no. If there is, I'd love to know about it. Yes? I don't know the answer to that. So the question was, if you've converted a snippet to text, will that show up in the report as an unused snippet, right?
Or, yeah. Or will it even show up as a used snippet or an unused snippet? It won't. I'm saying it won't. No, because the tag goes away, yeah, I don't think it's considered in any way, shape, or form.
Right, that's what I would assume, too. Yes. 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 She mentioned a plugin that helps with the regex, and there is a plugin. It's available. How do you say it? I've seen it on the Kaizen. Yeah, if anyone's played around with that, it's really nice. Apparently, I just saw on the Madcap Slack groups, and that's a great place to get information, by the way, if people haven't talked to you about that. And there's the plugin is available on there, and its author is on there, too. But I've heard there's some bugs with it with 2019.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're on that, be aware. If you're using the Kazine plugin for 2019, there are some difficulties there. But it does help. Yeah, you do it all at once, right? It helps your regex. You just type in what you want to change. You don't have to think about the code part of it. Yeah?
Madcap is working hard on figuring out the bug that the Kazine plugin doesn't work.
Great.
It's not the Kazine plugin, it's Madcap.
Okay, great.
For a report.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Can I add one thing to your point four or point ten? Is that do you use analysis at all for all this? Because in your reports, they're just a report. Analysis basically cleans out everything unused in no time at all.
Correct. Yeah, I don't currently do that, but that's something that we're looking at doing next. And he brought up a comment for those who may not be able to hear everywhere, using analysis to clean out everything from your reports. And that's a great way to do it, so it's not a manual process. You can clean out everything.
No, it doesn't clean it out from the reports. It just cleans it out. It can also do reports. Reports are something you look at and you say, wow, I need to delete it. But you need to
yeah, if you have, yeah, you can do it from the report at that level, right?
Oh, okay.
Yes, right. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Thank you so much for coming. Really appreciate it.